Get your notebooks. Everybody brought your notebook? Did you bring your notebook? If you don't have a notebook or paper or something to write on, I mean, if you don't have anything to write with or on, I will not cast stones. Just lift your hand. Anybody at all? Good, everybody's ready. Wow, I'm impressed. Thank you. I mean that sincerely. Thank you.
She raised her hand.
Oh, she did? Oh, okay.
Yes, she did.
See, she wasn't here this morning, so you get a hall pass. This is yours. This paper was made from the tree that was used to make the cross that Jesus... Not really. Yeah. So anyway, guys, seriously, I do recommend, you know, I don't always have a notebook with me, but I do have at least, I always have at least one sheet of paper in my Bible for taking notes. So always come prepared, because this is, you know, it's church, I get that, but it is spiritual school. And you should approach, I don't know about other churches, but here, you should approach here as though you're going to school. You know, the Bible is your textbook. And you should also have, you know, paper and whatever for taking notes. And every now and then, I give you a handout. And that just adds to what you have. So, let's go ahead and turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read just one verse. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Pick it up in verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now this is talking about when the time had approached to where Jesus knew he's going to be moving in the direction of the cross, if you will. And it says that he sent messengers, verse 52, sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. His face was as though he was going to Jerusalem. Now, real briefly, you know, this had me stumped for a long time. I didn't understand it. What this means is, it's a phrase that is used to describe where somebody is planning to go. How many of you ever heard the term, he turned his face to the wall? You ever heard that? Basically what that means is a person has decided they're going to go ahead and die. They turned their face to the wall. Well, he had his face for Jerusalem. Now here's, got to give you a little history background on this. You know, there's a great divide between the Samaritans and the Jews. And if you remember, in John, Jesus met the Samaritan lady at a well, and she got to talking to him about worship. You know, the Jews say we're supposed to worship in Jerusalem, but, you know, Samaritans, we say we're supposed to worship over here. You know, what do you think? Well, the reason for that was because the Samaritans had actually built their own temple. And I didn't write down the name of the mount it was on, but they actually had built their own temple. And they had come to believe that God really did like them, and some of them believed that they were preferred over the Jews. It was kind of different. But for Jesus to have gone into, where it says here, a village of the Samaritans, there were several ways to get to Jerusalem, but one of them, based on where he was and where the path he was taking, one of the ways to get to Jerusalem was to pass through this area of the Samaritans. Another way was to go around and take a different route. If you, as a Jew, especially someone who was considered as a leader of the Jews, went through that area of the Samaritans and pass through it on your way to Jerusalem, they interpreted that as you slamming them as not being worthy. In other words, yeah, I'll walk through your village, but you know, you're not worthy of me spending any time to worship here. And so they took it as a great insult. Now that's the short and the sweet of what's going on here. That's why it says they did not receive him. But notice, his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. He's headed to Jerusalem. Now that is a destination for him. But he took this path through the village of the Samaritans. So he could have gone a different route that might have been a little bit longer and not encountered any hardship, but he did go through this village and encountered whatever it was they said to him, however it was they actually reacted to him. But it made some of the disciples mad, because in verse 54, when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did?" Now, I'm sure they're pretty honked off about, you know, something's happened here that made for a very unpleasant situation. And I get a kick out of this because, you know, apparently they assumed we can call fire down from heaven. So I kind of don't think they could have, but, you know, they're thinking, you know, we can do it, Jesus, you just give us. You know, you ever seen Barney Fife on Andy Griffith? You know, how sometimes, you know, he acts like he's bad to the bone. You know, boy, if they mess with me, I'm going to... Well, that's what I see in this. You want us to call down fire from heaven? And Jesus rebuked them. He says, "You know not what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Well, the point I want to make is his destination was Jerusalem. Now that's important. His destination was Jerusalem. Now look in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, verse 1. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." So I made reference to this story a little bit earlier. This is not the same situation as what we just read about. This is something totally different. But verse 4 says, he must needs go through Samaria to get to this city that is called Sychar. So here was his destination. In the other story, his destination was Jerusalem. But here, he must needs. So he had instructions. He knew this is what he's supposed to do. Now look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now I'm going to be using what we read in Hebrews 12, Luke 9, John 4, and then here in Philippians 3 to bring out a point relative to our own lives. In Hebrews 12 it talks about, you know, the race, run the race. So I would like you to think about your own life over this past year. What was your race this year? What was your race? What were you running? You say, "Well, I don't know." Okay. That's all right. You should have known, but that's okay. And I'll clarify here in a little bit. What was your race for this year? Because we're right here at the end of this year. We got, you know, a little over a month to go. And this message tonight is one that some people might think, well, you know, you ought to wait till January, first Sunday of January to teach this. No. What we're doing tonight is getting ready to prepare for January. So then, for this past calendar year, what was your race? Now, we're not talking about, we're going to set resolutions, New Year's resolutions. You know, no, forget it. I mean, if that's a term you like, fine. But that's not what this is about. What was your race for this calendar year? What was it? And then in Hebrews chapter 12, it also talks about the weight that hinders us. Okay, so this past calendar year, what was the weight you wanted to lay aside? Now, we're not even going to introduce the element of sin. Not at this point. What was the weight that you wanted to lay aside? Now, I'm not talking about, well, I wanted to drop 30 pounds. No. No, that's not it. What was the weight that you wanted to lay aside, or the weights, plural, that you wanted to lay aside this past calendar year? Well, then we see over there in Luke and in John, where Jesus was headed to Jerusalem, and he was headed to Sychar in Samaria. So this past calendar year, what were your Jerusalems and what were your Sychars, your Samarias? What were they this past calendar year? Because remember, those were destination points for him. So then we could say, in a way, what were the destination points for your life this past calendar year? And I don't mean, well, you know, we went to Florida and Disney was... No. In your life this past year, what were the destination points? Another way to say this is, what were you hoping to accomplish this past year? And then Paul, here in Philippians, he writes about, you know, I press toward the mark. Well, what was your mark for this past year? What were you pressing toward? Now, these questions that I have presented, I'll be the first to say that I was not very diligent with this concept over the past year. But I'm also guessing that maybe most of the people hearing this, the same was true. What was your race? Well, I don't really know. Okay, well, what was the weight that you wanted to lay aside? Well, I don't really know. Well, what were your Jerusalems and your Sychars? Well, I don't really know. Okay, well, what was your mark for this year? What were you pressing toward? Well, I don't really know. All right. I believe I have just answered for most of us in this room and most people listening. What we have just discovered is why we're not seeing God do much of anything in our lives. It isn't that He doesn't want to, but we don't know what to do. We don't know what we're supposed to be doing. We have no clue, generally speaking. Okay, what do you want? What did you want for this year? I want to be more like Jesus. Okay, that's great. But are you saying that just because I asked the question? Are you saying that because, well, that's the right thing you're supposed to say? I mean, what were you really going after this year? And that leads up to, what race are you going to run next year? What weight or weights are you going to want to lay aside next year? What is a weight? Well, anything that hinders you from becoming everything God desires. What are your Jerusalems or Sychars for next year? And what is the mark you're pressing toward next year? What is your mark? Another way to say all of this is, to kind of summarize it, What do you want to see accomplished in your life next year? Now, some people would say, well, I don't know. What do I want to see accomplished in my life next year? Well, I'd kind of like to win the lottery. Okay, you know what? We need to refocus here. The lottery is not an option. You shouldn't be doing that. And you know it. What are you wanting to accomplish next year? And this is why you have your notepad, your notebook, and your pen. Because right now, what I want you to do is take a little time and write down what you think you should be trying to accomplish next year. What is the race you're going to run? What weight or weights do you want to lay aside? Your Jerusalems, your sidecars. What is the mark you're pressing toward? What do you want to accomplish? Now, somebody might say, okay, well, does this have to be like really super spiritual stuff? Or can it be other things as well? It can be other things as well, because as a Christian, our lives, our day-to-day lives, are supposed to be impacted by our walk in Christ. So therefore, if I say, well, one of the things I'd like to see accomplished this year is to have better direction as far as a career is concerned. Well, that's good, really. That's very good. Because God can help you in that area. So then, if I know for some people, it's like, ooh, I hadn't thought about that one. Okay, put it down on my list. And that's okay. But what is it you want to see accomplished this year? Well, I want to become a better steward of my money. Hey, then put it down. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you everything to put down on your list. What do you want to see accomplished in life? Well, I want to spend more time with God. I want to spend more time every week or every day or whatever the case would be. I want to spend more time with the Lord. Okay. I want you to think about these things right now. What do you want to see changed in your life? And make it realistic. In other words, I want to be the president of the Ford Motor Company. Okay, don't put that down. Be realistic about this. And write down some things that you want to see accomplished. Those of you watching, please do the same thing. Write down some things that you want to see accomplished in your life this year. Now, some of these things that you write down, you may realize that if God is not involved, it's not going to happen. Well, technically, God should be involved in all of it. But what I mean is, if there is not a real definite move of God, then this one and that one and this other one I have on my list, it's not going to happen. And you know what? That's okay. What I mean is, it's okay to put something down that to you is an impossibility unless God puts his hand smack dab in the middle of it. That's okay. I want another house. The house I'm living in is too small. I'd like to have a bigger house. There's no way that's going to happen on my current level of income. Okay, so then you really need a big move of God, and that's okay. You can put that on your list. Because one thing we've learned, with God all things are possible. And don't worry right now about, well, what if I put something wrong on the list? Don't worry about that. What do you want to see accomplished in this next year? What do you want to see changed in you? What race do you want to run? Go ahead and write these things down. And those of you listening, if you want to pause this recording while you write these things down, go ahead and do so, because I will be eliminating all the extra space on the audio recording. Now, I'm guessing that most of you are maybe done. And if not, that's okay, because you can add to the list later on. What you just created is a prayer list for you. Things for you to go to God over and pray and get from Him His input. Look over in Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Now look in Psalm 31. Because see, right now you might be thinking, okay, I put all these things down, but quite honestly, I hadn't prayed about this ahead of time. So all the things here on this list, I mean, this may not be what God wants at all. Well, I agree with you only to a point. Because if these are things in your life that you have recognized need to be accomplished or changed, then there's a really good chance that God has inspired those thoughts in your heart. And now you've put them in print. But in Psalm 31, verse 3, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Lead me and guide me. Because see, what we want to do with this list is go to God over it and pray about it and ask Him to lead me and guide me relative to what I've written down on this list. And what He's going to do is refine it. He's going to give you direction. He'll give you instruction, guidance. He'll alter it. But one thing He will do is work in this refining process so that you clearly understand what on this list is a must-do or is a race you are to run. And He may say, well, mark this one off over here. But if you go to Him and say, okay, these are some things that I really believe need to be changed or need to be accomplished in my life this year, He may look at you and say, yeah, you know, you're right. All of those things. Now let's work on it. Look in Psalm 32, verse 8. God says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way which thou shalt go. Because see, these things that you put on the list are things that you want to accomplish that haven't been accomplished. Things that you want to see changed that haven't been changed. So then the question would be, well, how come you haven't accomplished these things? How come these things haven't been changed? Well, maybe you never really thought about it. Maybe you've never given it much prayer, or maybe you don't see how it can be done. And yet God says, I'll guide you. I'll instruct you. I'll teach you in the way you should go. Or I will guide you, teach you, and instruct you in the approach you need to take to bring about these changes, to bring about running this race successfully. Look in Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." This word, ordered, it also means established. That means from God's perspective, He has already devised a way for you to accomplish what you need to accomplish this year. He's already devised a way for you to change what needs to be changed this year. So therefore, it's a matter of going to Him and basically saying, okay, You've told me that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. All right, Father, this is what I want. I want You to give me the revelation of the steps that You have established for me when it comes to these things. And I choose to delight in your way, meaning my approach is not sufficient. I choose to delight in your way, even if that means I have to go through Samaria to get to Jerusalem. See what I'm getting at? Even if it means I encounter or deal with some stuff that I don't really want to deal with. Even if it means that I have to endure some stuff I don't really want to endure, but I want to make it to my destination point, and so therefore I will delight in your way. God's not going to delight in our way, because our way doesn't always work, as we know. So I choose to delight in your way, even though right now I'm not sure what your way is. My decision, my choice is I will delight in your way. Look over in Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So once again, here it is, a laying down of my methods, a laying down of my ways, to accept from him what he wants to show me relative to over this next year, me accomplishing what I'm supposed to accomplish, me changing what I'm supposed to change. He'll help you know if there are things that you think need to be changed that really don't, that you've made bigger in your life than what they really are. You know, he may come and say, all right, you know, you think this over here is the problem and you're willing to work on that. That's not really the issue. The real issue is this over here. So if you work on this over here, then eventually you will see change in that over there. So then I have to trust him. No, God, you don't understand. And God said, no, wait, I do understand. Trust me. Trust me. And we're going to get this done. Look over in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord. And where he says your thoughts shall be established, that doesn't mean what you're thinking right now. What that means is I commit my works, my doing, I commit it unto you. And he says, okay, then what I'm going to do is establish your thoughts out of the mind of Christ. I'm going to reveal to you what it is you need to be thinking about, what it is you need to be praying about, what it is you need to be focused on. Your thoughts will be established. Because let's face it, how many times, if we look back over our lives and think about the things that we wanted, you know, if he'd have done that on some of those things, it could have been disastrous. So I want my thoughts to be established in line with what it is that he wants me to do. Look in Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. You know, all these verses that I'm giving you, these are verses that you can use and turn into confessions. Or you can turn them into things that you pray over yourself. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. This is the way. Well, the only way you're going to hear that is if you make a decision to go to him and ask for this instruction. Ask, you know, here's my list. Here's what I came up with on Sunday night on a moment's notice. Help me understand this. Help me see this list the way you see it. What needs to be added? What needs to be removed? How do I refine it? Look in Isaiah 48, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. Now that whole thing of I teach you to profit, don't relegate that strictly to financial increase. Think of it kind of like this. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee how to be successful. And I will lead you by the way that thou should go. I will lead you. See, you can't follow God if you're ahead of Him. I will lead you. Look in Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. That whole thing of fat thy bones, that has to do in part with being healthy. And he says, the Lord shall guide thee continually, nonstop, day in, day out. Well, if he's there to guide me continually, then obviously I need to learn to trust in the Lord with everything in me. And he's going to satisfy my soul in drought. Now, this word drought, think of it in terms of not lack of water, but just, you know, lack. Even though he draws the correlation of water here in this verse, but think in terms of lack, or better yet, what I perceive as lack. Because if my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, don't think in terms of just money, all my need, whatever it is, all my need, okay? Then I may look at a situation in my life and in the natural I perceive it as being a situation of lack. But that's not necessarily how he sees it. He sees everything as being supplied. Well, he tells me here, he'll guide me continually. And he will satisfy my soul in times of what I perceive to be lack. Look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Well, this wisdom would be all-encompassing, and you know, Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and I shared here quite some time ago how that if you just keep reading the book of Proverbs, or read it, and then also, you know, listen to it being read to you, you know, recording, you know, wisdom is being sown into your life. And he says, look, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he'll give it to you. Well, that means as I'm looking at this list that I have created, I need wisdom on how to address these things. And God says, yes, you're right, you do. So if you ask me, then I will give it to you. One of the things that I've noticed in Scripture is that really in both the Old and the New Testament, God presents this concept of I'm here waiting for you to ask. Rarely do you see God just move. You see him, remember Solomon? He says, all right, Solomon, tell me what you want. Solomon says, well, since I'm going to be the king, how about wisdom? God says, well, now that's impressive because you could have asked for a whole lot of things. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You have impressed me with that request. I'm going to give you that wisdom, and it's going to be wisdom unlike anybody else has ever had. But to let you know how impressed I am with what you ask to receive, I'm going to bless you financially as well. Solomon didn't ask for that. But God was so impressed, he says, I'm just going to lay it on you, boy. And did he ever? So therefore, this concept of asking is critical in the life of a believer. And God says, okay, I am wisdom. You ask, I give. So I need wisdom concerning whatever I would have on my list. I need to ask him for that. He's going to minister to me. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You need that verse 13 relative to your list. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all truth. That would include the truth of what's on that list and what needs to be done, what doesn't need to be done. And He's going to speak to you directly from the heart of God, and He'll even show you things to come. In other words, here's my list. Holy Spirit, I need some help with this. You know, You're the Spirit of truth, so I need truth. I need guidance in this. And there can be times where He can come to you and begin to speak and say, okay, look, if you will do it this way, here is going to be the result. Meaning He'll reveal to you what's going to happen if you do it the way that He tells you to do it. Now, sometimes you might sit back and think, really? Are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm God, I know. Yeah, trust me, it'll work. So He can show you things to come. Now, on this list that you've made, it will be changed, it will be refined, I don't know to what degree. But we're facing the end of another year. How many of us, if we're totally honest, you know, please don't respond by, you know, any way, but how many of us, if we're totally honest, will say, you know what? This year was really not much different than last year. This year really, I mean, okay, yeah, I heard more sermons, sang more worship songs, et cetera, but when it comes down to the kind of things that, you know, we're talking about here tonight, this year really hasn't been that much different from previous years. All right, you know what? We're probably all there. That's part of what this teaching on Sunday mornings is going to be about, you know, faith. But we're probably all there, the majority of us. And it's so easy to slip into a place of complacency. You know, as long as everything seems to be going pretty well, then, yeah, all right, it's good. But yet, on the inside, there's something saying, no, it's really not good, and I shouldn't be satisfied with this. Yeah, I really do need to spend more time with God. I mean, that needs to be changed. That has to be a destination point for me this next year. And whatever else it would be, I really do need to be a better manager, a better steward of the money that I have. I really do need to be, you know, a more scripturally defined parent. I mean, we could go on with this. But this next year, for me, I want it to be an improvement. I want it to be, you know, the new model. You know what I'm saying? You know, car manufacturers come out with a new model, you know, and it's supposed to be better, supposed to be improved, and more features and so forth. Okay, I want me to be the new model next year. And honestly, I think you do too. I think for you, you want to be the better version of you, the improved version of you. And it can happen. That's the good part. It can happen. And it starts really tonight with this list that we've made. This is just the starting point. And it can be changed. But it starts with this. Take that list and pray over it. Get direction from God. Talk to Him about it. And then begin to make this progress. It's not going to happen overnight. Remember, we're talking about an entire year that is before us. That gives us a lot of time to make a lot of progress. Amen? Father, I want to thank You for helping us in these areas. And Father, if there are things on our lists that need to be deleted or things that need to be added to the list, just help us to see that and help us to understand it. And I ask You just to minister to us over the next, basically, month and a half in preparation for what we need to do within the next year to see these things happen. Father, my declaration is that we will run our race and we'll run it successfully. We will reach our destination points. We will lay aside the weights that need to be laid aside. We will press toward the mark and we will reach it. And I thank you for helping us do this.